Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I'm listening to a lot of techno at the moment because I just love my
God's Kitchen.
Techno. No, not so much God's Kitchen. Cosmic Gate. I really like Cosmic Gate. And then I've just found this other German guy who's just fantastic. And yeah, that whole trance electro.
It's pretty good.
It is good. If you get some good trance, it's just fantastic.
You've got to get it right. Yeah. I have certain songs that I play at certain times that you just bring you back. I had certain CD that I used to play in the car when I first got my red convertible.
Yeah.
And every time I hear those songs, so was it this, just
was
brings
that Big
me back.
Mouse or Dead Mouse?
Dead Mouse. Big one. Mouse. Of, did, what did you say?
Big Mouse. Big Mouse.
It was one of them was Random Dead Mouse, and one of them title. It was I remember, and then there was another one called I can't remember the second one. Beautiful Things. Every time I hear that song, I feel like I'm in my brand new convertible. It's nice. Just so cool, so cool. Brings me back there.
Yeah, convertible cars, man. Once you go convertible, you don't want to go back.
I know.
You do though, but you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
And there's something cool about convertibles.
I love my convertible. What are we talking about today?
I think we were going to talk a little bit about falling off the wagon, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like and people doing fads and why they don't work. And so, because it's the beginning of the year. By now, pretty much 99% of everybody's New Year's resolutions are out the window.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people still make New Year's resolutions. I can't even speak. New Year's resolutions. I don't know if I know anybody that does that. I think we're in a place where a lot of people are sort of more, not advanced is probably not the right word, but understand that having a resolution at the beginning of the year and not, you know, just one at the beginning of the year doesn't work. Like people, we hang around with a lot of, you know, people who have got constant goals and dreams that they're putting steps towards actually achieving, you know. But I think some people still definitely get caught up in that whole, it's a new year, I have to start all over again and this year is going to be different and da-da-da-da.
Yeah, but a lot of the time people are just setting themselves up to fail.
Well, I think that's what happens.
Yeah, because Demartini has a great statement, don't follow fads, create them. Yeah. Which I think that's a really, 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 really cool concept. Or don't follow trends, create them. which is I mean, I love that you like the new ones that come in. I love how some of them just go boom, you know, they're just huge. Like that 75 hard, that has just gone bananas. Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
I was actually wondering, not long ago, how long he's had that for. I've listened to quite a few of his podcasts because I did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how long he's had it for, but a lot of people are definitely doing it.
But it's really restrictive, right? If you mess up one day, you have to start all over again.
From the beginning.
Right, that's the commitment to it.
Yeah, I think that I think I was thinking about it because when we were thinking about talking about this topic, something about the commitment, I think it's having that outcome. I think that's what makes the commitment stick, like a New Year's resolution or whatever. If you're just thinking about the short term, it never works. If you have to actually think about what you want at the end and why you're committing to it instead of just saying you're going to go for something, because you think it's going to give you all these pluses and don't not realise all the minuses that are like intrinsically attached. And I think that's part of the reason why the fads don't work, because they portray a lopsidedness about them. Oh, you're going to just eat lemons and you're going to get lose weight. You're just going to do X, Y, Z and you're going to be, you know, successful. And it just sounds like it's just too good to be true. It's like you're only going to get the plus, plus, plus out of it. Mm.
Do you lose weight if you eat lemons?
Probably, if you only eat lemons.
Write that down. Text that to me.
And anybody that knows me knows that I love lemons. Lemon and salt. I used to eat them when I was a kid. My grandfather used to make
and they ate lemon the enamel off your teeth.
And my teeth are pretty got ruined from them. But what was I going to say? So, yeah, I think it's the plus, plus, plus of it. It's the illusion that it's only going to be one side.
Uh-huh.
I had a moment at the end of last year where I went, okay, I have to do something different. I have to change what's going on in my patterns and my habits in certain areas, physically, but more so mentally, because I knew that the mental was going to reflect in every area of my life. And I realized that it wasn't going to be easy. And then literally, and I thought, sometimes things are just hard and I just have to do stuff that's hard. And then the next day, Shani posted on her Instagram that she was starting 75 Hard. This was on the Thursday.
Right.
And I went, I literally just asked for something because I knew that I had to do something and I had to like challenge myself. And then I immediately decided I couldn't do it. Immediately.
What do you mean?
I could immediately decided when she said, when I looked at what she had to do, I immediately decided I couldn't do it.
Right.
Because I thought, there's no way I'm going to get 2 45-minute exercise sessions in a day. Who's got the time?
Right.
One of them having to be outside is not really practical. 4 litres of water every day. Following an eating plan, whatever eating plan you choose, but not having a break or any of that stuff. No alcohol thing I could have done, mm-hmm. and I did do. And then reading 10 pages. I'm like, there's no way, just no way. So mm-hmm. I already kind of talked myself out of it before mm-hmm. I had a minute to decide that I wanted to do it. And then I realized that exactly everything I needed was on the other side of doing that, like the hard part is actually what I had asked for, and then the fact that I'd questioned that it was going to be hard and I couldn't do it because it was hard and because how was I going to do it made me realize, well, why aren't I thinking of a different question? How can I do it?
Don't you think that the actual action itself of doing something is not actually hard? So, like,
no,
doing,
you're right.
If you grab your finger and you pinch your finger and you squeeze it really hard and you're pinching it really hard, if you really focus on it, what you realize is that it's more the thought of the fact that you think you're hurting yourself than the actual action itself, because mm-hmm. it's just pulsating. It's just all it is. It's just when you really go into what you're feeling in that moment, it's really not that bad at all.
Well, that's the thing. It was the mental stuff that made it harder than it was.
Yeah.
And so I start.
It's a bit like when you cut. If you cut yourself, right?
Yeah.
There's a moment when you cut yourself that you look and you think, "Holy shit!" And then your head kicks in, and then the blood comes, and then that's when it hurts. Yeah. You know, when you first have come off a bike or have an accident, or you first cut yourself in the kitchen, or, you know, it's the thought of it afterwards that I think.
I literally did that the other day. I've been cutting myself because I've been in the kitchen more. I literally sliced my finger, and I went, did I cut myself? And it wasn't until I saw it bleeding and I saw it that I actually started to feel it. It was I needed to see that physical evidence of it before I felt it. It was weird.
But that's what I'm saying. It's even because when you're exercising, in the process of it, it's like, I've said it a billion times before, but the drive to the gym
is harder than the gym itself.
It's because it's the whole thing of, God, I got to fucking get into the car. I got to fucking go to the gym. I think we were talking earlier to Tash and she was like, she was heading home and she was convinced that she was going to do something. Yep, when I get home, I'm going to do this, da-da-da-da-da. But when you get there, it's the thought of having to do something different. Do you know what I mean? It's because we're so addicted to, our addictions are not just to what we consume and eat and everything else. We're addicted to
our patterns.
Well, yeah, but to the bottom upness of it, we don't have to do anything outside of the fucking normal.
Yeah.
You know, every day. You know, if I go, okay, tonight I'm not going to watch a movie on Netflix. I'm going to go and I'm going to study this, or I'm going to read that, or I'm going to go into the gym, or I'm going to whatever. It's the whole fact that I'm gonna miss being comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm gonna miss the comfort of the comfort.
Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly what goes through your head when you see that this is what you have to do, and you're like, nah, I'm not going to be able to do it. So you make all these excuses before you even give it a go. So then when I decided I was going to give it a go, I was like, right, I have an outcome, because I had an outcome. The outcome was more about the person I wanted to be and the type of habits I wanted to have and my mental capacity to say that I could do something like this, that I wasn't the person that said no. No, I was, and I know I'm capable of these sorts of things. I know I'm capable of being able to put a challenge to myself and actually stick to it. So
75, was it 75 days?
75 days of that every single day.
So it's a quarter of a year.
So nearly
a quarter of a year.
Yeah, so the issue for me was literally the first week was really, really, really tough because your whole body is sore, like because you're doing the exercises. You feel like you're not sleeping, whatever. And then the thing that I think, and this is probably helps to answer why fads and stuff fail, is because I was thinking, that's okay. My Sunday, I can just sleep in, or my Sunday, I can have off. And then I realized, fuck, I can't.
Mm.
Like, I have to get up and do this whole thing on Sunday as well. Like, the day I normally go, right, I can just do whatever. Like, it's not like I don't do anything, but I wanted to have the freedom to not have to, you know, do X, Y, Z. Da, da, da. And then I went, oh, my God, I can't. And the next week I can't. And then the week after I can't. And then it was the fact that, and it was the commitment I'd made to myself, but the fact that I think this one worked for me because there was no escaping it, because there was no fucking way I was going to repeat and start at day one. I was so adamant.
Oh, because if you fuck it up,
if you mess it up, you've got to go back to day one and you start again. And I had made a commitment to myself that I was going to do it, and there was no freaking way that I was not going to achieve everything in the days. So I feel like, because it's interesting, right, I say that and I'd made that commitment and I really stuck to that commitment, 75 days.
So you've done it already?
I did the 75 hard last year, right?
Right.
So then it finished just before STP.
Yeah.
And then STP happened and whatever, so I didn't get to drink, whatever. But the habits continued. I now still drink 4 litres of water a day. Mm-hmm. I still exercise mm-hmm. every day. I still follow the plan. I don't drink much alcohol, but I have had bits of alcohol in between. It was Christmas and Andrew's birthday, so yeah. obviously.
Yeah.
And then the only thing I gave up was that the thing that felt the most forced to me was the 10 pages of reading every day. I love reading, but I like to do it when I've got time to not – and I always left it to the last of the day, so it always felt a bit forced. But anyway, the interesting thing was because I made the commitment to do those, I did all those things, but then I thought, well, if I can do them – then I can go, I can do this every day as well. And I started to implement something else that I thought I'm going to do every day.
No, explain, stop.
Okay, so you know I have to do the 4 litres of water,
yeah.
take a progress yeah. picture, right. follow the diet.
So you got a bit ambitious and you were going to try your own thing.
I threw a few other things in.
And a few other things?
Yeah, two other things.
What were they?
I never committed to them.
What were they?
One of them was, it was a goals thing. Where I would sit down every day and do some of my goals and my
yep.
and I do them regularly.
And,
but
and
I
how
just
far into the 75 I didn't go,
I
did,
no, no. I was. This was about a third of the way through. I thought I'm going to add some other things in.
But then you weren't doing 75 hard.
No, hang on a second. No, stay with me. I was doing 75 hard.
Yeah.
Right. So I did this. I did this. The tasks that were available and that, yep. that you had to do. I yep. didn't ever.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
But I thought I was going to add in, I yep. thought just randomly, my own commitment mm. to myself is I'm going to add in these other things.
Right.
But because they weren't part of this system,
yeah.
I didn't follow through on them.
And so did you start them?
I started them and I never followed through. And I think the reason being was because I didn't have a proper outcome for them. I didn't have a commitment to them. I had the commitment to doing this and I didn't have it to that. It's just like you said about Tash saying I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it. But then something else more important comes up. So what's happened is that it's like our priority shift. When that we have to have a reason to have the goal in place in the first place. You have to have a reason to have it in place. Otherwise, it was technically those other things were a low priority because I hadn't made them a high priority for myself. I hadn't seen how they were important, and because they weren't part of the task list that I had to do, I dismissed them as not being important. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then, therefore, I didn't achieve them.
But there could be a couple of things going on there. The first one is what I was trying to say a minute ago. It's a bit like when you have a glass of water, if you put lemon in it, it's no longer water, it's something else, right?
Yeah.
Same with the 75 hard, yeah? If you throw something else in, there'll be a part of you going, you know, because you're doing it because you want to be disciplined, right?
Mm. And be able to I want to have that mental
yeah.
toughness, is
right?
What I
and
do,
but
what
you know, our saboteur is pretty sneaky. It can go in and go, okay, I'm going to add extra things in, but then suddenly you might feel okay to take something out, and now you're just mixing.
Well, that's not. But no, I didn't take anything out, so right. that was the key. I didn't mm-hmm. take anything yeah. out.
But maybe there's a part of you realized, no. I just need to do this.
Well, I did realize that at the time,
right? Okay.
Because it's funny now. I've started now. I decided. Everybody saw Shani do phase one.
Yep.
Which is the next step of 75 hard. And yep. so everyone was asking me if I was going to do that. I'm like, nah. So yep. same thing, like again. And then literally I have just started it. And
Sorry, phase one or phase two?
Phase one, yeah. Which is the second phase technically of 75 Hard. It is 30 extra days of all of those things plus three other tasks per day. And the three other tasks are a 5-minute cold shower, a 10-minute visualization plus three power tasks that you have to do a day. And now that they're in the fucking system, I'm doing them. Whereas before, I wasn't doing them.
What's a power task?
You have to – a critical listing, like something that you have to do in the day.
Right.
And I thought that they might have to be the same, but they're not. You can change them up every day, but you know it's a top task that you have to do every single day.
Right. So Ange yesterday was – I walked into the bedroom and she's on and she goes, I'm going to do the 75 hard thing. I'm like, are you? She goes, yeah, I'm going to do it. She said, there's only one thing that I'm really frightened of. And I'm like, what are you frightened of? That you're going to fail or give up or don't? And she goes, no, I'm frightened of the 5 minutes of a cold shower. And then I looked at her and she goes, do you think I could do a hot shower instead? I'm like,
yeah.
No, hon, you can't.
I did explain to her that's the second part. She's got to get the first part out of the way first, you know. But anyway, the reason we're talking about it is because I feel like there's something in the fact that you make that commitment to yourself. It's like an inspiration to achieve something. I've set that goal for myself and I made sure I did it. But the other things that I didn't set the goal for, I haven't achieved. I'm not saying I never will.
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, sorry.
So we're talking about why things fail, right?
Of course.
And even though I achieved part of my mission in terms of 75 hard, the extra bits that I added in, I didn't achieve.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah.
So what makes it that some things you achieve and some things you don't, some things you go for and you don't want to look back on and some things you don't? For me, it's the inspiration behind it. It's the purpose behind it. It's the outcome behind it. It's the end result behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I had to make that commitment to myself personally to see if I was made of the stuff that could do that, could be the person that could do that stuff.
So
now I know I can do
it. What was the end goal that you were focusing on? Where did you want to get to?
Me, it was just a mental goal, but I also wanted the physical ramifications, which happened.
Yeah.
But it was more so the mental ability to not shy away from things that were hard. And so I think we all go into times where we want to make ourselves comfortable. It's something we teach, right? And we teach what we most need to learn. And one of the ways that I was allowing myself to stay comfortable was in that mental capacity, not pushing myself to the degree where I could push myself. Now I've realized that I have the capacity to push myself to that degree. I can do it now, even now with the phase one. And I realize how much time we actually waste in a day. When you have to do all of these things, right, I realized how much time was going into – I was talking to you about this before.
Yep.
I'm like, it's frustrating me that people are taking time to get things done because I've got all of these things on my mind that are priority and we're wasting time talking about X, Y, Z. We need to be more efficient, right? That's where I feel this has – it has helped me in a way because I realized that I was wasting so much time. I wasn't.
So your efficiency levels
have increased exponentially. But also,
what you're saying is that the thing that you wanted to test was and get back in tune with was your stamina, your ability to maintain, your ability not to cheat, your ability. So those qualities you had felt you had put down or lost and you wanted to be able to get back in touch with them and know that you could succeed at something?
Yeah, no,
because it's fucking not easy, man. Not like, I mean,
it's 75 hard.
Yeah. I mean, if you're physically feeling you're a bit all over the place and emotionally a bit all over the place and you're feeling like you're not where you want to be and you take something on like this, it's fucking not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and sure you want the ramifications of feeling better and looking better and all that sort of stuff and feeling healthier, but I think what you're saying is you also wanted to know that you could do it.
Yeah, 100%. But it's interesting. I think what I'm trying to get at, though, is the reason that it, like, why do these things, like, why do some things work and other things don't is what we're trying to, why what we're trying to look at, right? Because mm-hmm. if you say going on the lemon diet, that's not going to work. Or, you know, take these three steps to success, that's not going to work. Like people think it's got all the plus, plus, plus. I think they have to see that, or people have to see that there is a minus there, or that there's – that it's – I think people want the outcome and they think it's only going to be an okay, like it's only – going to be plus getting there. When you recognize that it's a both a plus and a minus, uh-huh. I feel like it's
well, you can't be sold on the dream, right?
Yeah,
you also have to understand there's a process and a mechanism of getting there, right?
Yeah,
but people get sold on the dream, not realizing that this actually is difficult. It's great and it's fucking pain. It's beautiful and it's ugly. It's got all of those things. So I think one of the reasons that people give up is because, you know, you're right, they have a plus expectation on it of getting something and achieving something without realizing that it's got a minus. Mm-hmm. But overall, when we look at where we want to get to, I think,
I think
not having high expectations on yourself and taking it step by step and day by day is a very important role. You know, because when people go, this is where I want to get to, and they create this huge big gap between where they are and where they want to be, that then they feel as if they're not that person. So, and there's only so, like there's a part of you will go, you know, you're not that person. There's a subconscious conscious part of you goes, hey, I'm going to do 75 hard to everybody. And subconsciously your mind goes, no, you're fucking not. You're not that person. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
So I think that knowing that 75 hard or taking on any dream or any goal that you want to achieve, you have to do it day by day. But you got, and day by day doesn't mean that you ignore the destination. It means that you understand what the destination is and be get into perspective what's required backwards to start you tomorrow.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that was part of it, definitely having the step-by-step thing. Mm. But I realized as you were talking that I think what it is that when your goal is clear in the sense that you know what your outcome's going to be, you will accept the pluses and the minuses that come with getting to that goal. And you understand that you have to do both sides. If you're not clear with the outward goal, you will make a commitment to yourself that, yes, you're going to go and train this afternoon. But because you want the outcome of the training without doing the work, you're not going to go and follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think it's like when you have the goal, like we say all the time, when you challenge yourself, right, like a kid challenges themselves in a video game, they want the plus and the minus that comes from the video game.
They want the challenge of it.
Yeah. They don't want to just have it easy ride because then it's not fun and for them, the right? Success, yeah. And then the success doesn't mean anything. So I think that the answer is having that outcome and the strategy and the goal in place, because I think if you don't have that goal in place mm-hmm. and the outcome that you want to get to, the next level that you want to get to, then you will take on the fads because it will seem like it's all plus, plus, plus. And that's the way you think you're going to get to that outcome.
Yeah, so that's why people take on the fads and fail. Yeah. But when you put perspective on things and you look at what it's going to take and you're honest with yourself and you're honest with yourself that you're not there, you know, the amount of times that I've seen people fuck things up because they publicly are telling the world that they're going to, you know, make this huge big change in life and da 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 da, and they're going to take on the world and they're going to change this about the world. You know, I think that always comes crashing down.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because people who make a difference in the world just go and make the difference.
Yeah.
They don't go around advertising it. They don't. So when they're doing it, the reason they're doing it is they're doing it in halves is because ultimately inside of themselves, they privately feel they haven't got what it takes to get there. You didn't run around announcing to everybody that you were going to do 75 hard.
No.
You kept made it a very private thing and you just undertook it. You were select about who you spoke to. And then you had the right people around you to surround yourself with so that you could get to where you needed to get to, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the ways in which people fuck it up. If they run around advertising it to the world as if they're already there and they're fucking not.
And the other thing I realized when you were just talking there is that you have to be honest with yourself, because the outcome that you want is not going to be an overnight outcome. Mm. It didn't take overnight for you to get to where you're at.
Mm-hmm. And the person you're going to be at that outcome is not who you are.
It's not how you are. And you have to show up as that person every single day. And so for me, you know, my challenge has always been food. Mm. I don't know why I've just got emotional, but my challenge has always been food, right? You had your addiction to drugs. Mm. Mine was the addiction to food, mm-hmm. you know. And I would eat my feelings down. And for me, I knew I hadn't. I knew that there was a person I could be that wasn't just that. And I had to be honest with myself to let myself know that it took me 45 years to get here up and down. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight. I had to be okay with the fact it might be a challenge along the way to get to that point. Uh-huh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That it was not going to happen. I knew it was possible and I knew that that was a part of me, but I had to be okay because every single thing I'd done before that was to get the quick thing, was to go, I need to lose weight quickly, I need to get healthy quickly, I need to whatever quickly, get fit quickly. So you go to the gym and you just like kill yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why next week you're still sitting on the couch because you tried to push too hard, right? I just did the simple implementable steps every step along the way to get me to a point. And I think that's part of the other reason why the fads don't work, because it takes time. You know, these things don't happen overnight. And I don't know why I'm getting emotional. These things don't happen overnight. But I think you know why I'm getting emotional? Because I feel like I'm proud of myself for having got that finally. It's taken me a long time to get to the point where I've gone, okay, it's taken you ages to get here. It's going to take time. It doesn't have to take forever, but it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. And you and I had a really good conversation last week.
Just let me say something about that, right? I think it's also important for people to understand that when you're an addict, you're always an addict.
Of course, yep.
You're always an addict.
Yep.
So you can't have an expectation on yourself that when you get to an ideal weight or when you get to an ideal body size or when you get to, you know, sobriety, whatever that is, that it's going to be like that forever. You know, you will always fight your addiction. Always.
Yep.
And we all are addicts in our own way and we all have different quality addictions. Yep. And I think that the day I kind of got control of my addictions was when I allowed myself enough time to learn what it was like to abstain from things.
Yeah.
To actually get to that point. Yeah. And I'd earned the right then to go, okay, I'm going to take that pressure off myself that I have to be like this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because you are going to fuck up in life. You are going to get things wrong. You know, people used to say to me all the time.
Not me, I'm perfect.
people used to say to me all the time in seminars, I used to get a lot, you know, do you use drugs? And I'm like, well, not today, I don't. Will I use drugs tomorrow? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Have I used drugs before in my life? I absolutely have. Will I do it tomorrow? Like I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and I think you got to, for me, I had to learn that center point because whether you're an addict or whether you're abstaining, you still have the same problem. They're both, you're still an addict.
Yeah.
But when you have control of it, you are the person in control of things because you've earned it right, because you've learned what it's like to abstain and you got to be okay with that just as much as you learned what it was like to be an addict
and you've got to be okay with that. Yeah, you're going to have all parts of it. I think we had a conversation last week that really helped because I was having a moment where I wasn't feeling grateful. I wasn't feeling okay. I was feeling like, you know, it's so funny because you get so far and then sometimes you just don't get it. You don't feel grateful or you don't feel like you've gotten anywhere or whatever. And the result of that conversation was you just got to feel it, Mills. Like you're not going to be grateful every day. You're not going to be happy every day. You're not going to be sad every day. You're not. And I realised, hang on a second, this is what we teach, that these moments, these feelings are temporary. And as soon as I realised that again, like as soon as I got it again, I realised that I had just been subconsciously almost sabotaging myself in terms of the fact that I would, I don't know, sneak a bit of food in here or there or whatever. And it wasn't about the food. It's never about the food. It was about how I was feeling. It was like I had to eat my feelings down instead of feel my feelings. Mm. And we're human beings. If we don't feel our feelings, we have the aspirations of a dead person. Only dead people don't feel, right? So as soon as I got clear with that again, it's like these new little realizations every step of the way, I realized that my journey is going to be my journey. It's going to have its ups. It's going to have its downs. But it's my journey and it's okay to experience the plus and the minus of it. And the moment of sadness or the moment of frustration or the moment of ungratitude or the moment of joy and the moment of like, you know, excitement, all of those moments are just temporary.
Mm.
It's okay to feel them and then move on. Because we just get, I feel like we get taught not to feel our feelings, and that's why we get into the point of being addicts in the first place. The only reason that you became an addict was because you weren't able, you didn't know how to access some of the feelings that you accessed through the drugs. Would you agree? Some ways?
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a couple of things there. I think it's important for people to understand, you know, it's okay to feel your feelings as long as you're going to do something about what's causing the feelings.
Yes, but...
because if you don't do anything about what's causing the feelings, then you're not taking responsibility.
No, I get that. But what I'm trying to say... So you're right. There's other aspects of it, right? Because can't live in that space either.
No, but the problem is that when people hear...
It's you can feel your feelings. You've got to feel
your feelings. You know, I really, really challenge that because I think, listen, it's all, because people can fucking end up in there for years.
No, but this is the I don't agree with that. Then just let me tell you.
Because people can end up in there for years. I've met them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they're just a fucking unhappy, sad fucking mess and they're like, it's okay for me to feel this. It is, as long as you're doing something about it. And what's causing it, and you're aiming higher than the emotion, because the feeling is just an out of balance state. It's your emotions and your feelings trying to get you back into a state of understanding what's going on. Your feelings are just when you're out of kilter. When you're in kilter and you're in equanimity, the thing that you're feeling is appreciative and grateful and love and like connected and in flow and those states. And I think that they're super important.
Yes, I agree. But I think you've taken what I've said, and it's good because I think we need to clarify it. Feeling your feelings does not mean wallowing in the shite, right? But when you feel your feelings, I don't think you do. I think the people who wallow in their stuff, right, and end up having those things long term, are people who are not feeling their feelings and they're trying to feel something else.
Say it again.
That they're people who are not feeling their feelings. They don't want to be sad and they're trying to be happy. And so life is saying, no, it's okay to have this moment, but this is only a moment. This is not all of who you are.
Yeah.
And then the people who stay there are the people who are like, oh, poor me, I'm so sad, I wish I could be this. It's because they're trying to be something else. They're trying to have a different experience and they're not acknowledging the experience that they have. Having said that, I do agree with you that the more you have to do something about it, you have to be – you. This is why I am – well, for me anyway, I am doing something about it.
Yeah.
But it was important to just connect with you're not – that feelings are just temporary and they're not designed to be felt like
– I agree with you, right? I agree with you. Feelings are just temporary, but a lot of the time people don't know that. They're only temporary if you – they're not temporary if you don't do anything.
So give me an example of what you mean.
If you don't stop and go, okay, I'm feeling this, and open a dialogue with yourself and go, okay, what is causing this? Because it's trying to tell you something. They're a feedback. They're trying to get you to become more conscious about what's going on. Now, people who are depressed and stay in those feelings of depression, you know, ultimately stay there because they love it. Because they're getting so much out of it. It gives them an identity, listened to, heard, loved, makes them feel important. It gives them so much. So, but there, you know, ultimately, there's a call for us all the time to stop and go, well, I can be more than this. Do you know what I mean?
Agreed with that.
I think it's dangerous sometimes to say, you know, it's okay to be in your feelings. It is, as long as you're going to fucking do something about it, because you don't want to live there. The other thing I was going to say to you was, in that moment stuff, right? You know that moment stuff?
What do you mean?
When you're running, you're on a treadmill and you're running.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this in the car.
Yeah.
And like you're carrying weight. It's fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fucking hard. It's not easy. But then if you ask yourself, okay, what is actually hard? Is it the exercise itself? Is it the fact that I feel like I'm not where I was? Is it my body pain? But if we get into the moment of our breath and what's happening when we're running, it's not hard.
It's not hard,
It actually isn't. Mm. But
the heart is how you think about it before or after or even at the time.
And even heading there, I got to get on this treadmill and then I'm going to start to run and I'm going to either live in the future or I'm going to live in the past. If you live in the moment, you don't have that experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like when I'm riding up a hill with the lads and some of them take off because these guys take off.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that moment and you know, you're
present to the moment.
You fucking don't even, like you don't even feel it. You know, it's like you're just not in it. You get up there and you're thinking, geez, I just did a good time. Or everybody's going, God, that was a good time we just got. But there's times when I'm not in that moment and I get out there and I get on the bike and I just have a bad day, you know, because I get up the hill and I'm like, I'm rooted here. You know, my body's sore, my legs are killing me. And if I really look at it, I'm not actually on the bike. I'm either at work or I'm at home.
Not present.
I'm not in the moment. Does that make sense? So I think one of outside of the moment, it's pleasure and pain. But in the moment, it's important.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. If people stop when they're doing this stuff and they're pushing themselves there, just get into the moment. And in that moment, you'll realize it's blissful.
Yeah.
You know, it's blissful.
Yeah.
It's energy. Yeah. It's blissful.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know about this whole feeling thing. I get what you're saying, but I think we have to maybe. I think we're actually saying the same thing, but I think we're not.
That's not unusual. Not
the amount of times we've sat and argued and we've
black pot.
And
no,
we've
it's
a black pot.
No, it's a fucking black pot. I'm telling you.
You tell me it's not a black pot. It's a fucking.
I know black pots, and that's a black pot.
We've done that a lot. I don't know. I hope that was. I feel like that's my take on why fads don't work and why you have to. Like, I think what, just to finish up, I was just listening to one of his podcasts the other day. I think one of the reasons that I feel like this isn't a fad is because you have pushed through your 28 days, your 60 days or whatever, and then most people that actually do it keep up big part of it. And it's not about, I'm going to get to the end and stop. I mean, it was the first week. I'm like, I can't fucking wait to stop this. By the time I was day 65, day 70, day 74, I didn't feel like, why am I pushing myself so hard? I've got only two. And I've been working out
imagine
twice.
Imagine fucking it up.
It's just like, no, I wouldn't be happy about that.
wrap up in a minute. But even with Ange at the moment. So Ange has decided that she's going to abstain for a year.
From alcohol.
And so I'm it's crazy. And so I'm
it's good. I love that.
I'm like whoa. So I'm because I know we've been here before. You know, we've gone through this before. And so I'm like I'm trying not to press any buttons or get involved, you know. And because you're starting to eliminate and then you go through that first burst of, oh, you know, I feel different. Everything's changed. I'm this new person. And it's like, no, you're not. You know, this is the honeymoon period.
Time, yeah.
You know, you may be feeling that better because you've stopped after 10 or 15 days. That's great. But that doesn't mean you've sorted out because the alcohol itself is not the problem.
Never is. That's just what you use.
Just what you're using. It's what's causing the problem. And I was trying to point it out for you today, you know. So I one of the guys said to me here, you know, the way that they handle it is they'll say, hey, I'm writing this story in my mind about what you're doing. Can you help me to work this story out? So I thought, oh, I can go home and try. That's a good one, you know. So I'm like, Ange, I'm writing this story in my head.
I can tell that this
it went all right. But in my head about this, you're abstaining and about the fact that you're abstaining, but you're not alcohol's the effect. We're not dealing with the cause. And so I know what the cause is. It's, you know, we create stress in our life. You know, and everybody's dragged into it. Oh, the kids are driving me mad. You're driving me mad. The house is driving me mad. I have nothing to do in my life. Da, 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 da. And so therefore, I'm going to go and fucking blow myself
up. That's a recent cause, though. It's not the ultimate cause. Yeah. But anyway.
No, of course not. Yeah. But you have to start with the more recent cause before you go to the root of the cause. And I said, so, you know, I'm writing the story. Can you help me with that? And she said to me, listen, when it comes up, definitely I'll come to you. And I'm like, no, it's up. This is what I'm trying to say. You know, because I can see the stresses, you know, of what go on that cause it. You know, because you're addicted to the stresses as much as you are to the alcohol.
Yeah.
So I have to pick my time and wait. But she's doing really well. You know, like it's fucking not easy.
No, definitely.
She's doing
making
really
any changes.
Making any shift.
But that's what makes it worthwhile. The fact that it's not easy actually makes it worthwhile. Mm. Because if it was easy, it's like something that's free. We don't value it.
Yeah.
We don't value it.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.